Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles. We win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
We return to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Brought to you by Digitex. Office supplies at huge savings?
Yeah, Digitex does that.
Digitex.ca on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
And now Talbot lands a couple of shots on Gagne.
Yeah, there's history. There's history between
Gagne.
Giordano and Gagne.
Goes after Mark Giordano and hit him twice, and now he's being held from behind, and now we've got a wild scrum with fights breaking out all over the place. Mangiapane and Chiasson. Giordano has Gagne wrapped up, and Matthew Tkachuk and Ethan Bear are going to drop the gloves. Bear belts him with the right hand. Tkachuk counters with a straight right. Right hook, Ethan Bear. Left jab, Matthew Tkachuk. And now we're going to have a goalie fight. Bear throws a right hand.
You know what? That 45 seconds was probably, in my opinion, Jack's best work as a broadcaster over the course of the last decade. I don't think I ever liked my broadcast partner more than as I was watching. That was awesome. Welcome back, everybody. Bob Stauffer with you on Oilers Now. And speaking of the aforementioned play-by-play voice of the Oilers, we welcome back to the show, Jack Michaels. Jack, I was talking about the fact before we went to break that if I was to handicap who would be the best boxing play-by-play announcer of any hockey broadcaster in the league, it would be you, hands down. And I know you love the sweet science.
I do. I do, and you better have my back on that, because you know it's true. I have to admit, you said it perfectly after. I'm not sure I had been accepted by you prior to that night, and as we were walking to the plane, I noticed the look of admiration in your eyes for the first time in a decade, so I think you're onto something there.
That's because I hadn't hit the sauce yet, but... No, that was a fun night, and we're going to hit a little bit about the fact that we could have an all-Canadian division coming up. But I do want to talk a little bit about boxing, because the listeners know during the course of some of our conversations on this show and on the broadcast, you're a huge fan of boxing. I know you've heard the stories about George LaRocque potentially doing a benefit celebrity boxing event with Mike Tyson. George did say yesterday, you know, I might give him a shot in round two. I'm not sure I'd poke the bear with Mike. I know I wouldn't poke the bear with Mike Tyson. Where would you rank Mike Tyson in terms of must-watch TV back in the late 80s, early 90s? I know you don't think he's the greatest boxer of all time, but he was certainly one of the most entertaining, Jack.
Well, I mean, Mike Tyson, you can make a real argument, was the last... you know, real spectacle of boxing. That was appointment TV, appointment closed circuit, however you want to phrase it. Certainly in the heavyweight division, and I would suggest all time. I mean, I know Floyd Mayweather has the most pay-per-view buys and all that crap, but there's the last time boxing was in the mainstream, it was because of Mike Tyson. There had been a lull in the post-Ali era. Mike Tyson catapulted it back into the mainstream. And as soon as he lost, the sport never truly recovered, never embraced Holyfield, never really embraced Riddick Bowe. You know, and really, boxing is as healthy as the heavyweight division is, to be honest with you. It's, you know, without the heavyweights, you're missing something. And trust me, hockey in the mid-1980s would have been missing something without the Smythe division. Trust me. It would not have been as interesting a sport. And, you know, when you don't have a dominant heavyweight, you're just not going to be in the mix. There's always going to be something. It's the greatest title in sports, the heavyweight champion of the world. And Mike Tyson was the last guy who was truly thought of as the baddest man on the planet.
He hit hard. Anybody else hit as hard as him for you at that weight class?
I think you have a strong case for Ernie Shavers, whom Ali called the acorn. He hit Larry Holmes with a right hand that's probably the hardest punch I've ever seen that connected that didn't result in a knockout. I mean, many people would tell you Shavers hit harder than anyone. You know, Foreman hit exceptionally hard. I mean, at 45 years old and tiring in the 10th round of a bout where he had lost the first 9 rounds, he still hit hard enough to knock out the heavyweight champion of the world at the time, Michael Moore. I think Tyson is in the top 5 punchers at his absolute elite, but I'm not sure you could put him number 1. The one thing Tyson never won was, you know, a big fight against a big guy. His biggest win and the fight that was the most publicized and looked forward to in his entire reign was Michael Spinks, who was a blown-up light heavyweight. Yep. Who didn't even have elite power in the light heavyweight division. So that's the one thing he lacked, is much like Tiger Woods, he didn't have a guy that was at his best when Tyson was at his best. You know, and if he was, he backed down from him. And Michael Spinks certainly looked like the proverbial deer in the headlights when he was disposed of in 91 seconds.
What'd you think of Razor Ruddock?
Yeah, you were on that Ruddock train a little bit yesterday. I mean, he hit hard. He had no chin. He was, you know, an average heavyweight. I don't hold him in any, you know, particularly high regard. I know in this country, probably looked at a little bit differently, but, you know, I mean, Razor Ruddock is not in, you know, forget Tyson. He's not in Riddick Bowe. He's not in Evander Holyfield. He's not in Lennox Lewis's class. He's more in that, you know, Tommy Morrison grouping.
But he did hit hard. You talked about a guy with a chin. Larry Holmes, where does he fit?
Well, he took that right hand from Shavers and got up and knocked him out 2 rounds later. And I'm telling you, that is, like I said, the hardest punch I've ever seen that didn't result in a knockout, for sure. For sure. And Ali, it's hard to say Ali doesn't have the best chin when you take a look at the assortment of left hooks that he absorbed from Joe Frazier. The fact that, again, one of the hardest hitters of all time, George Foreman, he just allowed him to wail away on him, took his best shots, asked him midway through the fight, "That's all you got, George." And George thought to himself, "Yep, you're pretty much right." I mean, you know, the left hook he took in the 15th round of their first fight against Joe Frazier, that's right there with the Shavers blow in terms of the hardest shot I've ever seen landed that didn't result in a knockout. It knocked him down. He got up, lost the decision, but he took some hellacious shots. And I will say this, the heavyweight division will never be as good as it was in the 1970s when guys like Ernie Shavers and Ron Lyle couldn't win the title in, you know, in any other era, their heavyweight champion.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And that's just to name a couple. I could go down the line of how many dangerous heavyweights there were in the 70s.
Did you, you know, just crossing over to hockey here, Jack, I mean, when I think of some of the hardest punches I've seen guys land on guys, Colton Orr, when he dropped Todd Fedoruk, Fedoruk was with the Flyers, Colton Orr was with the Rangers at the time. He caught Todd Fedoruk. I was at Overtime Broiler and Tap Room downtown doing my old show with Mark Spector on the other station, and I had a couple fathers of NHL players that may have been watching their kids play that night and meet me before the, and I remember I thought that Todd Fedoruk, like, I was concerned for him on the ice.
Bob, I don't know about you. I hate to one up you, but
we had one with Edmonton. What are your first
punch? My first game, exactly.
Yeah.
That was as chilling a shot as I ever hoped to see. We'll put it to you that way.
Yeah.
That was a chilling shot, and. You know, Rytus Evenens obviously was never the same, and you know, for that matter, that was probably Steve McIntyre's you know, last great moment, other than two hellacious bouts against Derek Bougard about 3 weeks later. But in terms of seeing a punch live, I'll never see one.
Yeah.
I hope to never see a punch harder than that.
You know, in the case of Evenens, we knew he was in trouble. It took him some time. And they got him up. But in the case of the Fridge, who had already been knocked out by Derek Bougard before during his Anaheim days, I mean, I was scared he wasn't going to get up. Like, it was one of those.
No,
like,
I hear you.
I knew Evenens was going to get up. It was, and that was a stunner, and it was a stunner for the fans. So, in terms of must watch, Tyson was must watch in foot in hockey. Who are the must watch? Who are your favorite in boxing? Who are your favorite? I mean, obviously McDavid's the must watch in hockey right now. Do you have a must watch in the NFL? Do you have one from the past?
In the NFL, you know, for me right now, it's Patrick Mahomes. I to be honest with you, the quarterback position right now, you can make an argument that Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, and Russell Wilson, I'm not sure anyone's played the position better than they're playing it right now in terms of, you know, the ability to slip tacklers. I mean, it's unreal. For me in basketball, it always will be Michael Jordan. It just will. He was the one guy and playing on the one team that I didn't care for, that I ended up with no apologies just hopping on the bandwagon. It's the one time in my life where you could accuse me of being a bandwagon fan and being absolutely correct.
I'll remind you of that when you're on me about Alabama. By the way, did you have the Hoyas or Phi Slamma Jamma back in 84?
I was a Phi Slamma Jamma guy all day. And they never won the big one, but boy, that was an exciting team.
Hey, how about that Baltimore high school team that fed a couple of those players to Georgetown? Wingate was one of those guys. Muggsy Bogues was on that Baltimore high school.
I assume you're talking about Morgan Wooten and DeMatha?
It was Dunbar was the high school.
The other prominent program in Maryland is DeMatha, run by a fellow by the name of Morgan Wooten.
Yeah, there was they went like 60-0 in 81, 82, 82, 83, this Baltimore team. And they had four guys that ended up playing in the NBA. Reggie Lewis. I think they had Reggie. Was Reggie Williams on the
Reggie that, Williams would have been that era.
Yeah,
It was a little bit later than Reggie Lewis, who played for the Celtics and then died tragically of a heart attack.
Yeah, same guy. So they had Reggie Williams and Wingate both went to Georgetown. Muggsy Bogues, where did he? Do you recall where he played?
Wake Forest.
Yeah. I mean, think about that, folks. He had four players on the same high school team playing the NBA, and not surprisingly, they went like 60-0 over 2 years. That was Dunbar out of Baltimore. All right, Jack. Let's get to it. All Canadian Division. How jacked up would you be for that?
I think it'd be a great thing for the country. I really do. I think it'd be a lot of fun. I certainly would get a kick out of it. If that's where we're at in terms of having a compromise season, that to me would probably be the most appealing aspect of a compromise season, to be honest with you.
You got, do you want to handicap it 1-7 for me?
You know, as much as I hate to say it, I will actually go with Toronto at 1, Edmonton at 2, Vancouver at 3, Montreal at 4, Calgary at 5, Winnipeg at 6, and Ottawa at 7.
Why do you have the Leafs ahead of the Oilers?
I have the Leafs ahead of the Oilers principally because in an all-Canadian division, you're going to obviously, let's say they play 50 games. So you're playing, let's just say they're playing 8 times. Head-to-head, the Leafs have owned the Oilers. I mean, I think Edmonton has 1 win in the last 5 years. Is that correct?
Yeah, back in January when McDavid scored the goal of the year.
Correct. That's it. So I would say that, you know, until the results are skewed the other way, I feel like in the regular season, head-to-head, Toronto would have the advantage.
Okay. I have Calgary in the top 4 instead of Vancouver. I have the other 3 teams, Edmonton, Toronto, and Montreal, that you have the top 4.
Edmonton, do you have Edmonton at 1?
Edmonton 1, Toronto 2, Calgary 3.
Of course you do. It's Oilers now. Why am I asking that question?
Hey, you work for OEG. I work for OEG. I do have the Oilers. The reason I have Edmonton, I might not have had them. Oh, I wouldn't have had them number 1 last year. I would have had Toronto number 1 last year, but I think that the Oilers have added enough skill in their top 9. They can play a different. They'll be, even though there's going to be a drop off on special teams because that's inevitable, I do think they'll be a better 5-on-5 team, which, as you know, Jack, during the course of the season, you recall how nervous I was in around the time Edmonton was playing Detroit last year in Detroit. Looking at you saying, I'm not sure they can sustain this. They're too slow up front.
Well, the key is head-to-head for me. That's the one, you know, and I'm one of those, well, you know, until you beat them a few more times, I'm not necessarily thinking that the shift has turned. I guess I would say that, you know, in my opinion, Toronto probably has a more established number 1 goalie.
Yeah, well, that's fair. That's fair.
And probably has... You know, again, it's going to be an adjustment without Oscar Klefbom. I think Tyson Barrie is fantastic, and that's certainly going to switch things. You know, Barrie moving from Toronto over to Edmonton. But, you know, by the same token, I have a lot of respect for what Oscar did for the back end for Edmonton, and I don't think it's going to be easy to find 26 quality NHL minutes a night on the back end. That's always tough to find, especially from a 5-on-5 perspective. But if Edmonton can make, and they address their 5-on-5 play, so that's where they have a chance to really catch the Leafs, because unlike some people, I think Toronto made negligible changes to its lineup. It's just a matter of whether Toronto can hang on and still be as explosive offensively and meet Edmonton in that regard. Because I do think they have a slight advantage in net, and I think the back end, to be honest with you, Bob, at this point right now, I'm not sure I want to say anything more than a wash there because, again, the absence of Klefbom is sure going to be felt.
All right, final one for you, Jack. You got Vancouver in top 4. I have Calgary in the top 4. Why do you like Vancouver more than Calgary?
Well, I think Jacob Markstrom is part of it is rooted right there. I think Calgary has had tremendous turnover on the back end. I mean, you know, no Brody, no Hamonic. Giordano is not the same player, Bob. Edmonton exposes that guy. I don't like Calgary's back end matched up with Edmonton or Toronto up front at all. And I think Markstrom had a comfort level there with the coaching. He was in Vancouver for a long time, I think 7 years. So that switch is not going to be easy, and he's going to be facing, in my opinion, a pretty suspect defense. I think Edmonton has surged right past Calgary. I got to tell you, I think they might be on the flip side. Well, you're thinking, oh, they traded Markstrom for Holtby. You know what? Let's see how that plays out. I'm not so sure Braden Holtby doesn't have some good years ahead of him. And the one concern I have rating Montreal so high, and I know you're going to be all over for me, but, you know, people want to say, how many years does Fleury have left? I'm wondering whether Montreal has wasted too many of Carey Price's good years and how much he has left.
They could spot pick him more. There's no question about that.
Jake Allen, you make a good point with Jake Allen. That's going to help Carey Price big time.
Jack, one of the texters is texting out of Edmonton saying, Bob, please remind Jack, no Nazem Kadri in Toronto anymore.
That's a good point by the texter. Absolutely a good point. You know, again, having said that, you got one win in 5 years against the hockey club. In a all Canadian division, you know, head to head results are going to matter. That's the one matchup where I could see Toronto taking 5 of 8 during the regular season. And then we have to find out in the playoffs. There's still some X factors with Edmonton.
Sure.
Will a number one emerge? And who's going to step up and aggressively eat up those minutes from Klefbom? Is Tyson Barry a better 5-on-5 defender than many people give him credit for? I believe he is. But there's other guys that are going to get elevated minutes, and they're going to have more of a target on their back this year than last year. Let's see how they handle it. So I'm a little bit of a wait-and-see guy when it comes to assessing Edmonton's back end.
Jack, the good news is you don't have to make a call in Alabama this week because they have the bye week getting ready for LSU. You know that's going to be payback next week when they play down in Death Valley. Who do the Browns have this weekend?
Bye. So they
have a
bye.
So they can't lose. All right, I'm serious about this. Who wins between the Ravens and Cincinnati? Can Cincinnati win that game?
I told you, maybe that was a private conversation. The Bengals are getting better. I think the Bengals are getting better. I don't think they'll beat the Ravens. I mean, Baltimore just beat them 27-3. I'm not sure Cincinnati makes up that ground in 3 weeks, but the Bengals are getting better. That's a tough division. That's an underrated division in football right now that a lot of people aren't talking about, and I don't know why, because all four teams are dangerous.
All right, Jack, we only have 15 seconds. I got Clemson by 3 touchdowns over Notre Dame. What about you?
You're bang on, partner.
It's not even going to be close. Jack, we'll talk next week.
See ya.
That is Jack Michaels from the Oilers Radio Network as we wrap up the Friday edition of Oilers Now. We are going to go to List Day in Oilers history. Mr. Escott, what do you got?
Okay, back in 1983, Wayne Gretzky scores 4 goals and 3 assists for 7 points in an 8-5 win over the Jets at the Winnipeg Arena. That was Gretzky's 19th career hat trick.
You know, you could literally do it every day. You know that, right? With Wayne Gretzky and multiple point games and all that kind of stuff. Royal Pizza, pizza, pasta, and so much more. Edmonton owned and operated for over 50 years. Royal Pizza offers curbside pickup and takeout options. They have, for a menu and a list of their 13 Edmonton and area locations, go online at royalpizza.ca or download the Royal Pizza app from the App Store. The Stauffer recommendation is the Mediterranean Chicken. Coming up on Monday, a fluid show, but we will have NHL insider John Shannon and Reed Wilkins from Inside Sports. Reed's got a show tonight. What's he got cooking, Brendan?
Okay. Former NHL player, host of Dropping the Gloves podcast, John Scott. Mark Spector again with a Sports Central update. Edmonton football team long snapper and executive board member of the CFL Players Association. That is Ryan King, and then Steve Sir of the Edmonton Stingers.
All right. Great way to wrap up the weekend. Stay safe, everybody. It's going to get a little bit cooler. Up next, a global news weather traffic update with Eileen Bell, followed by the 6:30 Chet Afternoons with Jaylen Nye. So long.
Lovers in a dangerous time. Lovers in a dangerous time. Fragile bodies of touch and taste.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 Chad.